multiple things today. It's not an exhaustive study by no means. There's a lot more verses you could find in the Bible to show, but I'm going to look at a few verses. I often wonder, what does God delight in? What does He have pleasure in? You know, and the Bible has a lot to say about that. What God delights in, what He has pleasure in, what He doesn't have pleasure in. I want to look at some verses that speaks about that today. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 18, an Old Testament book, Ezekiel chapter 18, God tells us there what He doesn't have pleasure in. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, God tells us there, I'm going to look at what He doesn't delight in first. There in verse 23 in Ezekiel chapter 18, God tells us, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" You know, God doesn't have a delight. He can't wait to throw man in hell. No. All of us was made in the image of God. But here he says, he has no delight, no pleasure in destroying man. You see, he's not that God up there just sitting there saying, this person messed up, let me take him out. No, God is a merciful God. You know, he delights in mercy. The Bible tells us one of the things he delights in. He delights in mercy. He tells us lots of things about himself, that he is full of compassion. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He tells us he's plenteous in mercy and truth. And all these things God uses in the Bible tells us a little bit about himself. But one thing we do know, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Look at verse 30 at the same chapter. In verse 30 of Ezekiel chapter 18, he says, "Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves." We have to be careful with that verse. He says here to repent. It's a command of God for us to repent. But we know that repentance is a gift of God. Man can repent to a certain degree. He could stop drinking. He could stop smoking. He could stop a lot of things. But that's not that. Although we had to stop doing these things, but that's not what God has in view. God has to give us repentance. We have to repent from our evil heart. And God is the one who has to give us a new heart. Repentance is a gift of God, the Bible says. And it says, repent and turn yourselves. We know that God has to turn us to himself. We can't turn ourselves. If you hold your hand here and turn over to Psalm 80. And there's many other verses you could look at, but this is one verse that God tells us that God has to turn us. In Psalm 80, verses 18 and 19. In Psalm 80, verses 18 and 19, God tells us, "So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name." Turn us again. Who turns us? "Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." So we know that God is the one who has to turn us to himself. He has to give us repentance and all these things. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not of any works that we do. So God is the one who has to turn us. And says in the middle of verse 30, back over to Ezekiel 18, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." You know, iniquity is sin. "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby we have transgressed." Now, God is telling us to do these things. But of course, no, we can't. We can't. Of ourselves. Christ done it on the behalf of his people, "whereby he have transgressed, and make you a new heart." He's telling us to do these things. Make you a new heart. Something impossible we cannot do. You can't create within you a new heart. God has to do it if he so wishes to do. "For why will he die, O house of Israel?" Or in verse 32 of Ezekiel 18, He says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." See, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. None whatsoever. You see, that's, we see here he has no pleasure in destroying mankind. Because if he did, he wouldn't provide this wonderful salvation that he's given to his people. God is indeed a merciful God, you see. He has no delight in destroying people. But we know that God must do what he says, because he declares in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. He must do what he says. You see, he says the wages of sin is death. That penalty must be carried out. But in the meantime, his wonderful grace is available. God is still saving sinners. Although we see the day approaching, we know that salvation is still possible. You see, he tells us to turn from our wicked ways. Why will he die? There's an escape from eternal destruction. And yet there are many in the world that live as if there is no tomorrow. There is no God. You see, God is indeed merciful. Well, you know, we see that as May 21st is quickly approaching, we could still beg for mercy. But turn over to Ezekiel 33. Same idea there. In Ezekiel 33, we see God tells us again. And there's other places in the Bible you could look to see that God has no delight in the death of the wicked. In Ezekiel 33, verse 10 and 11. As you read through that chapter, God tells us about we are to blow the trumpet as you see judgment day coming. You know, we are to warn the world that the end of the world is almost here. But in verse 10 of Ezekiel 33, verse 10 and 11, "Wherefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If your transgressions and your sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?" In verse 11, "Say unto them, As I live," is that God is taking an oath, you see, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, the house of Israel?" You see God's mercy and compassion to us? God is indeed merciful. You see, but we know that he will not always have that door of mercy open. Now, in the day in which we live, the door of salvation is wide open. It's wide open. The possibility of salvation still exists. Because we know that God is not a respecter of persons. The Bible tells us. Any one of us, the potential exists that he will save us, no matter who you might be. We could beseech God for his mercy, you see. But here we see that he has no death, no pleasure in the death of the wicked, you see. But man in his pride, in his rebellion, he think he's wiser than God. He think he knows more than God. And he continue on in his evil way. But we know what the end will be for those who continue in their rebellious way. They're headed for judgment. And in that day, the day of mercy has come to an end. Salvation will no longer be possible, you see. But God must do what he says, because he says the wages of sin is death. And that death, total destruction. Total destruction. Let's look at Psalm. Turn over to Psalm. Psalm 5. Psalm chapter 5, start reading in verse 1. Psalm 5, verse 1. "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art a God, thou art not a God that had pleasure in wickedness." God has no pleasure in wickedness. See why God could tell us that we are to turn from our wicked way? It's a command of God for us to turn from our wickedness, from our sin. But of ourselves, no, we can't. It says, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish, or the unsaved, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. See, he has no pleasure in wickedness. None whatsoever. You see, he has no delight in man's rebellion. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Look at another concept here in Hebrews 10. We know that Israel, the nation of Israel, were in a works gospel. We know that Israel, the nation of Israel, was in the works gospel. I'm going to pick up the context. And this study is no need an exhaustive study. Just a few verses I'm looking at. In Hebrews 10, verse 1. Here God tells us, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they have offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. These are the sacrifices Israel were doing. Hundreds and hundreds of animals were slaughtered. And we know that that was something that we're doing. They were doing something. And that never take away their sin. It's like someone today who is in a works gospel. You're doing something that will never save you. Israel, all this was a shadow pointing to Christ. It's like somebody, as I said, who's in a works gospel, who's doing something for their salvation. They're no different than Israel. Israel, the nation of Israel, were in a works gospel, and so do many today, are in a works gospel, thinking they might, if they repent, if they believe, if they do this or that, then they're saved. No. It's the work of Christ that saves us. There's nothing that we can do that will ever merit salvation. But here we go on in verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So all these sacrifices they did, that it didn't take away their sins, because we know, according to the Bible, that they perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. They perished. In verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. No pleasure. God didn't delight in what they were doing. He's as if somebody today who is in the worst gospel, God has no pleasure in it. Only the true gospel God delights in. So if somebody who's doing something thinking if they walk up the aisle or they do this for salvation, God has no delight in it. You're showing that you're on your way unto hell because you're trying to do something for your salvation and God has no pleasure in it. None whatsoever. If you look at God picks this up back in Isaiah 1. He speaks a little bit about that in Isaiah 1. He gives more information on Hebrews 10 here in Isaiah chapter 1. He speaks a little bit about that. Let's read in verse 9. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9. Here God tells us, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. God's people is a tiny remnant compared to the unsaved. It's a very small remnant God is saving out of this world. We would have been like as Sodom, and we would have been like unto Gomorrah. We know what happened to the city. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admon, Zeboim, God destroyed it. So if God didn't elect the people for himself, we would all be destroyed. And says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of, of our God, ye people of Gomorrah? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat-fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. He has no delight in it. All the thousands of lambs that were slaughtered back in the Old Testament day in Israel, God had no delight in it. This was a shadow pointing to Christ, which was to come. He had no delight in it. All the feast washings and the feast days and that sin offering and all these things, God had no delight in it. Because they were doing this thinking that that was going to bring them salvation. That's why I said those who were doing something for their salvation, they're yet under the wrath of God. Because God tells our works will never save us. It's the work of Christ. In verse 12 he says, when ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. You see, it's an abomination unto him, unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You see, in verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feast days, my soul hateth. God had no pleasure in it. You see, your soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make your prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. You hear his God command. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So God had no pleasure in what Israel were doing. See, none whatsoever. He had no delight in it, in these things. So, you know, we have to really look at the gospel that we're following to make sure that it's based only on the Bible, that I'm not trying to do something for my salvation. God has no delight in these things, only in truth, only in the true gospel, that what the Bible says. So we have to be careful what we're doing. Look at also at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 16, I think. Psalm 51, verse 16 to 19. Here he says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I will give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. He had no pleasure in it. God doesn't delight in things that Israel were doing in burnt offerings. And this is what he delights in. You see, look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Here somebody's, see, we have to come to God broken before God for salvation. Not with our bag of good works. You see, he says here, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. This is what God has delight in. Not in something that we think we're doing. No, it's an abomination. Just like Israel did. So we have to make sure that the gospel we are following is based only and only on God's word, the Bible. God delights in a broken and a contrite heart. Not in something that we think we're doing that will ever merit salvation. It will never, never work. Look also back in Isaiah, I think, Isaiah 61. It goes along with Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. These are the ones that God delights in. Someone who is coming to God with a broken spirit, pleading for mercy. This person recognizes that there's nothing good about them. They could never do anything to merit salvation. And God has delight in that person. Not on those who are coming with their good works and whatever it might be. See, God delights in this type of person. This is how we are to come to him. And it just might be that God may look upon this person with grace, with favor. Let's look at some of the things that God has pleasure in. You see, God, we see that he doesn't have pleasure in these things. When somebody's doing something for salvation or in wickedness or all these things, he has no delight in these things. But we could look at a few verses and what does he delight in? What does he have pleasure in? If we'll look at Ephesians 1, and there are many, many, many other verses we could look at, but these are only a few verses. In Ephesians 1, I think it's here in Ephesians 1, God, first few verses, God speaks about his election program. And, you know, many people are afraid of it. You start speaking about election and they're just beside themselves. You have to realize that if God didn't elect a people for himself, none of us would be saved. We would all have been like Sodom and be like unto Gomorrah. We would all be destroyed on the last day. God's election program is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we should thank God that he did. In Ephesians 1, start reading at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, it's God's good pleasure, is his delight, you might say, that he has elected a people for himself. He has pleasure in doing so and actually showing his mercy and how merciful he is. You see, it's his good pleasure that as he has elected a people for himself, because in verse 6, he didn't save us because we were better than someone else, or you didn't commit murder, or you're a good guy, or whatever you might say. No, he didn't save us because of those reasons. He says in verse 6, he saved us what? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in his beloved. You see why he saves us? We were saved for the praise and glory of God. And it says here in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure that he saved the people for himself. And he made known to us, his people, the mystery of the gospel. We know, as we hear many times, we know we're not smarter than anyone else. It's just God's mercy. It's God's mercy. He says, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And we look at other verses where God takes great delight in his people. He takes great delight in his people. Or in the New Testament, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. There you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 to 12. There we read, he's speaking about here, the first few verses, God's judgment. In flaming fire, taking vengeance in them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. You see, God's good pleasure, that when He comes and all those who are truly saved, He's going to take great pleasure in them. You know, great pleasure in His people for His goodness. And the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is going to take great pleasure and delight in His people. He's coming back, He says in verse 10, to be admired in all them that love Him. You see, depending on what side of the fence you're on, Judgment Day is going to be a great day for God's people. But for those who are left behind on that day, it's going to be a day of horror and judgment. See, this depends on what side of the fence this person is on, you see. Let's turn over to Psalm 149. Psalm 149, verses 1 to 10. We're looking at the things that God delights in, what He takes pleasure in, you see. And we ought to take pleasure, if we're truly a child of God, we also ought to take great delight and pleasure in the same things God delights in. You see, because God, Holy Spirit, indwells us, and we're going to love the same things that God loves. You see, we're going to take great delight in the things that God loves. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. See what He takes pleasure in? He takes pleasure in His people. His people, God's elect. You see, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people. Bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute judgment upon them the judgment written. His honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. You see there in verse 4 that God takes great pleasure in His people. You see, because these are God's elect, their sins are paid for, and they're going to be praising God throughout all eternity in the new heaven and new earth forevermore. And God takes great delight in that. Look at also Psalm 147, verse 11. Psalm 147, verse 11. Here we read, the Lord, Jehovah, taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. And those are God's people. Remember, God says, it tells us that we're the ones who are going to fear Him. The fear of God, He tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. And only God's elect will do so. The Jehovah taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. You see, whom He takes pleasure in, His delight in. And there's other verses. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 12. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He tells us, I believe, in that verse, that it's God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. What kingdom is that? New heaven and new earth. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. He's speaking about His people. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's delight. It's His pleasure to give His people, His little flock, the kingdom. And so the true believers, they're the ones who are going to be inheritors of the new heaven and new earth. And it's God's delight to do so. You see. Look also back over to an Old Testament verse in Jeremiah, Old Testament book in Jeremiah. I think it's chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Let's start reading at verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. But let them that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Loving kindness is judgment and righteousness in the earth. Or in these things I delight. See, God is not only sitting here to wait to bring judgment upon man, which he will, but he say he delights in, he has loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. And then he goes on in verse 26, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised. If you're uncircumcised in heart, you're not saved. Because God is one who has to circumcise our hearts. And all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. So you see there in verse 24 that God delights in these things. He delights in mercy. You know, and there's a lot of verses you could see where God tells us what he delights in. Let's look at Psalm 119. And Psalm, when you read to that whole chapter, you know, you could see that Psalm 119 especially, that ought to be the delight of the true believer's heart. Because if we're indeed a child of God, as I said earlier, we're going to delight in the things that God delights in. In Psalm 119, verse 16 to 20, you just read to the whole 170-something verses, you see, as God writes these things, that how the true believers love the Word of God. We're going to delight if we're true believers in the Word of God. You know, that's our pleasure, you see. Psalm 119, verse 16 and 20. Verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy law. And who will do that? God's people. We're going to delight in those things. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And we are strangers in the earth. The Bible tells us we're strangers and pilgrims in the earth, if you're a true believer. This is not our home, you see. We're just here for a moment. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. This is what the true believer loves. We love the things of God, you see, and we're good and delight in these things. We, you know, as God tells us, and there's many, many verses I could continue to look at, but these are only a few verses that shows to us that the things that God has pleasure in, what he delights in, and we ought to be delighting in the same thing that God delights in. Because when we become saved, God has given us a new heart. He's taken away the stony heart from us. He's given us a heart of flesh like Christ. And we are going to delight in things of God. So if you see yourself is not delighting in the Bible, you know, you have a hard time reading the Bible and you say yourself, call yourself a child of God, something is wrong. We should always be delighting in the Word of God. God tells us in the Bible that we ought to be meditating on the Bible. And if we're a child of God, we're going to do so. You're going to carve that time out in your busy schedule during the day. Get to yourself and listen to God speak to us from the Bible. Because this is the only way he speaks to us. It's from the pages of the Bible. And we're going to delight in these things. You know, we're going to pant after spiritual things. And that's what we ought to be doing. I better stop here. It's almost time is up. But As I said, there are many verses, many, many, many other verses I have, but I think I better stop here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, that thou art merciful. And we know, Lord, that the only way we're going to delight and have pleasure in what you have pleasure in is if you've given us a new heart. And, O Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you take pleasure in thy people. And O Lord, we thank you also that today is still the day of salvation. That as we see the day approaching, judgment day is only 18 months away. O Lord, if anyone amongst us is who might not be a child of God, O Lord, could it be that you might work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure? We pray that you may give us repentance and to give us the faith to believe and draw us to thyself. All that is something that you have to do to us. We can't do it of ourselves. Salvation is of the Lord. And, O Lord, we pray for all the activities of this day. We pray that all things may be done to the praise of thy glory. And we thank you, Lord, for all of us who are here, that you have provided a way that we could fellowship together around thy word, and those who are listening over the internet. You have made it possible. Lord, we thank you for thy mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.